Father, we're grateful for this day that you have shaped before the foundation of the world. They've shaped it to your hand for each one of us with your thoughts and dreams. And it's a marvel. I will rejoice in it. We will rejoice in it. So, Lord, I'm asking for a double portion of your spirit this morning to speak words that you've given over 2025 and set this year in a holy direction with holy energy and impetus behind it. And so, Lord, I'm just asking for that as we discuss these things, and that you would motivate and empower us for one of the most successful years we've ever had. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to give some prophetic intimations that I received for 2025. I ask the Lord for a prophetic word for a directive every year. And so, interestingly enough, it came to a lull in 2020. It's the first time in about 15 years I did not receive a prophetic word for 2020, nor for 2021 either. There was a lot of words and a lot of, you know, feelings and things we were praying, but there was not a straightforward directive. And that has dramatically shifted. I took a sabbatical weekend in November and really pressed into the Lord for the end of the year and for the beginning of this one. And that somehow, it was something in that weekend that signaled a turning and a changing point. And just this last month, I was eating something benign, harmless, simple, and I bit down on my tooth and I cracked my tooth and broke it diagonally right up way into my gum line. And, you know, $450 later. And then when he was looking at that one, he said, oh, and you need to come back and look at, because you got a little situation over here. So then $250 after that, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, the broken tooth thing ends right here in Jesus' name. So I went to my Bible, like any good girl does, and I said, right, I need a prophetic word for that. I need a rhema word. And I found it, of course I did, in Psalm 34. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. I said, right? I'll be sitting on that one. And as I pressed in, I came back from the dentist, and the next day, you know, I just nailed into that one. But as I did, an unexpected benefit came. I got a whole rush of prophetic revelation about 2025. And it has to do, the key word for it, is the bones. The bones. And in Hebrew, that's the word etzem. Strong 6106, in case for you keeners out there who want to look it up. And it means, of course, actual bones. It can mean the external body or a skeleton. But it also means the essence of something, substance, self, or the members of a, you know, a family even. And it means your very life. And it can also be used in Hebrew to mean the word self-same. And what I mean by that is, hang on, we're coming to it. When they went out of Egypt, the scripture tells us in Exodus, 430 years to the day, that self-same day did the Lord bring the hosts out of Egypt. So it's kind of that kind of a meaning, too, right down to the day, down to the very hour. And so 2025 is the year that we are going to see the true substance of a matter. What is really the truth in relationships, in institutions, all of that will be made manifest. Things that have deceived and run under the mantle of hypocrisy for a long time will not continue. 2025 is the year the Lord exposes the bones. And of course, that word self-same means also in the Greek, we use a word kairos. It's kairos time. Now is the time. Now is the hour. So I'm just talking about kairos. And again, self-same day. The countdown and accumulation of a long period of time. The fulfillment of a prophetic word. And for example, I gave it to you already, 430 years to the day. And Romans 13:11 says, and that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. And this is a word also I feel is quickened. We have come out from the pandemic where time kind of stood still. And it put us in a bit of a torpor. That's a word that they use to describe the sleep that animals go into for hibernation. All their energy, their metabolic processes slow right down. And we've been in a spiritual torpor because of COVID. And 2025 is the year all of that is gearing back up. And not only to normal speed, but accelerating past it, because the righteous are going to make up for lost time. That's a principle in the Old Testament where the Lord says, don't sow the first year, don't sow the second year, don't sow the third year. In the fourth year, I'll give you enough to cover what you didn't get before. God is well able to do that. And so there's no more torpor. Things are about to gear up exponentially. And the time and advancement you lost in COVID is going to be regained, and we will recover all. And the Lord says, as he said in Jeremiah, are you ready to wake up and run with the chariots? Are you ready? Okay. I kind of got some of this at the last minute. I didn't have much warning, so I'm running a little rough here than I normally like to, so please forgive me. One of the things that is going to come to Kairos time is, how to say this, Lord? The destruction of large institutions that have functioned on idolatry and lies and oppression. And one of those things right now, if you haven't been following the news, I watch a lot of people on YouTube, and the internet is on fire. Pacific Palisades is on fire, but Hollywood is on fire in the spirit realm because of somebody called P. Diddy. Sean Combs, a very influential, wealthy person in the rap music trade, owns a record label, influential. All of the things that he has done to get to the place he is being exposed. Sex slavery, human trafficking, all kinds of the most vile things that we don't even want to speak of. All of that is being exposed, and the people, the players in Hollywood, the actors, the producers, the directors, they're all going down with him because they participated in that. This is 2025. It began a couple of years ago with the Me Too movement, and it is just accelerating. And one of the stories that illustrates, the Lord gave me to illustrate, is from Numbers 16:28. And it's the story when they're in the wilderness and there's a group of people, Korah, that get to grumbling like, who made Moses the leader, right? And they murmur against him And this is Moses' reply. And Moses said, "Hereby shall you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. If that isn't a sign and a wonder, and calling down fire from heaven, take me back to class, because that's pretty strict stuff." So what happens? "And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking," he was barely done talking, "to draw a breath, when the Lord answered his prophet as he had spoken, that the ground cleaved asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. And they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." And just this scripture is quickened because there are things coming to dramatic and final conclusion. It's 2025 is going to be a year of one-offs. Things you have never seen before, nor ever will again. Both in visitations of deliverance and favor and blessing, and in judgments of destruction. It's going to be a dramatic year for that kind of a thing. Exodus 34, God is speaking 10, and he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing, or an awesome thing, that I will do with you." And we saw that when the Lord delivered 3 million people plus out of Egypt, literally overnight, because of the 10 plagues. Galatians 4:23-30, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the slave shall not inherit with the son of the free." There's going to be a division that is dramatic between the works of the righteous and the works of the wicked. And things have come to a culmination, and you're going to be able to see that. And situations of slavery and oppression. The Lord has heard the groaning of the prisoners. The Lord has heard the groaning of human trafficked all over the world. And he is answering with fire. He's heard them. And like the story of Luke 16, where the beggar died and he went into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man died and went into hell, it's going to be that kind of a division. And loyalty issues are going to be settled once and for all. It's a year of vindication for those who have been doing the works of God amidst great oppression, contempt, scorning. And there's going to be exousia, Greek word, authority, power, jurisdiction, right, liberty. Exousia is the anointing for the righteous in 2025. There's going to be a revelation of where the real power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ has been sitting upon his people. You're going to see, like it describes in Ezekiel 1, poor Ezekiel couldn't even describe it, what the anointing looked like in the spirit realm. Oh, there's eyes and there's faces and there's wheels within a wheel and there's fire coming up in the middle. And you're going to be able to see where the anointing of Jesus is really moving. just like Ezekiel saw it. And the authority that will be behind it will be unmistakable. And you will find where there has been real holiness in the church and where there's just been game playing and just been power mongering. And there's an official separation between who are the children of God and what is just strange. There's going to be spiritual visitations and visions. There's an increase of revelations. As Joel said, in the end days, old men dream dreams, young men see visions. I'll pour my spirit upon my handmaidens and upon my sons. And, you know, this is, we're moving into this. There's a story in Exodus 24 where Moses is with the 70 elders. And it says they had a visitation of God, and he ate and drank with them. And he fellowshipped with them. Come away. And in John 1:51, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And that's the anointing moving upon God's people who are really dedicated. In Ezekiel 37, it's the story, of course, of the Valley of Dry Bones. And this is one of the major focuses of 2025. And remember, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy. What do you see, Ezekiel? He says, the Valley of Dry Bones. God says to him, prophesy. You do it, Ezekiel. You speak over the bones. He says, well, what shall I prophesy? He says, wind, breath, spirit, come into these bones, and these bones will live. So he prophesies as he was commanded, and sure enough, bone to bone, muscle to muscle, sinew to sinew, and they came together, and the scripture says it was an exceeding great host. And it's imagery for the nation of Ezekiel. And he goes on to say, this is what Israel has been saying. Our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're cut off. They had no hope. You feel like that coming through COVID? Like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No matter how hard we pray, it doesn't seem to really be having an impact. Our bones are dry. Our bones are very dry. Oh, and we got to prophesy and say, Lord, breathe. Breathe into these bones. We can't do it ourselves, but we prophesy according to your word. Therefore, thus says the Lord, prophesy again. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you back to the land of Israel, back to your own land. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. And this is a word for us, and it's also a word specifically for those of us 50 plus who feel like our best days are over. God says, not so, my beloved. The hoary head, the gray head that is the glory of old men and old women is about to be anointed. So don't give up hope. Don't say, meh, too old. I'm not going to take on big projects like that anymore. Let's just scale it down and rest and die. God has better for you. If you will seize it, he will breathe upon your bones and upon your family and upon your motivation personally to give you a second wind, a new heart, and a new spirit. Promises that are long deferred, Lazarus dead 4 days in the tomb and stinking, are going to come out at the sound of his voice. And they're going to be resurrected, just as he spoke it. And also, in 2 Kings 13, remember there's the story of Elijah got sick, the prophet. He, after doing many, many miracles, the man of God got sick and died. Kind of an ignominious end for a mighty prophet. Makes you scratch your head a little bit. What's with that, God? He can heal many, but he can't heal himself. A little bit of a contradiction there. But it came to pass that somebody in Israel was burying a body and having a funeral, and behold, the enemy came over the hill. They spied a band of men, and so they threw the body into the sepulcher of Elisha, and when they let him down and he touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now that's a good story. The places that you have sown to righteousness and walked away with nothing, there's still in enough power in the works you did in faithfulness to have an effect. You're not even there anymore. But what you do in Christ is still doing good. And I felt like the Lord said, don't give up hope. You know, there people have been sowing and laboring in love a long time, and they've not seen the results they think they should see. But I'm still working, says the Lord. None of your labor in the Lord is in vain. I'll still raise the dead with what you've done. And so that's a word for you. And coming back into your own land or your own territory to receive what is rightfully yours after long seasons of being in exile in the land that is pagan and strange. Come on home, because there's still good things. Job testing has now come to an end. The other day in the prayer chamber, Scott said, the day of small things is over. When he said it, it just was like throwing down a match on a flame in my spirit. I said, yes, it is. That is the word of the Lord. Things you thought you'd never see, God is about to defy the odds big time. And so there's a new anointing on a 50-plus generation. Are you positioned to run with chariots? Even though you think you might be too old. In 2 Samuel 5, David was king over Judah, I believe, 7 years before the other tribe of Israel joined them and they became one tribe again. It took 7 years, and there was a lot of resistance. But it eventually happened that came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spoke, saying, behold, we are your bone and flesh. In other words, we want to be one. We want to be together. And I'm just speaking and interpreting and receiving this as healing over families. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, things that belong together, especially blood ties, coming together again in Jesus after long forbearance. By long forbearance is a prince persuaded. Soft words break hard bones. It's going to be a year for workmanship to have a special anointing. If you look in Exodus 28 and then in 31 again, 32, there is a man called Bezalel. And he is handpicked and chosen by God to oversee all the workmanship of the temple. Aholiab is his assistant. And between the two of them, they oversee everything from the draperies to the altars to the buildings to the lavers to every vessel. This is an anointed workman. And there is also going to be not only holy workmanship accelerated, but anointings on Christians in secular marketplaces. Ask for it and receive it. A Bezalel anointing for whatever your particular area of laboring is. The Lord will give it. And Exodus 32:16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tablets, of course, the Ten Commandments. But it's going to have the handwriting of God on your work. The touch of God. This is the finger of God, they've said. And you're going to be able to see it upon work and upon the bones, the substance, the essence of your work. And also, accordingly, Psalm 28:4-5, give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their just desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. So evil works are coming. The cup is full over evil works. The iniquity of the fathers is now becoming visited upon the third and fourth generation. We're seeing it in Hollywood. And unless you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your wickedness will reap destruction. It just will. And we see it in that word. Tempering and leavening are complete. The cup is full. The cup is full. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of a meal until all was leavened. 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, therefore purge out old leaven, the leaven of malice, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are now unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Things that have been leavening in different situations, like I said before, it's come to fullness. The leavening is complete, and you will see whether it was a good leaven or a bad leaven. And finally, also, I've spoken on it already, vengeance, because of that coming to fullness. Isaiah 63:4, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. The Lord will rescue his redeemed. All who took them captive have held them fast, and they have refused to let them go. But their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land. Again, situations of oppression. The Lord is going to visit that and set the captives free. So I have some questions. I think we've got a little bit of time. If we could break into the kind of four little groups that we had. As you cross into 2025, where are your bones sitting? What do I mean by that? What's in your essence, your heart, your attitude right now? Are you coming in heavy-spirited, or do you have hope? Just think about that for a minute. What needs help? What area of your life or your heart? What promises, things you know in your bones, God's been speaking to you for a long time, Are you watching the Lord to fulfill? And finally, where are your dead bones? Bones of lost hope that God will ever change that situation, that God will ever answer that prayer. Where would you like him to make visitation in your life? So I would like you to break into groups and consider those questions. I'll just leave them up here and so that you have them. Would you do that just now? Thanks. I think there's enough for two and one over there, and then maybe you guys can come. There's probably enough for one there. Just go join another group. Try to stay five or less. Well, let's just close in prayer and we can continue those conversations and get your coffee and help yourself to some vegetables and fruit back on the table. Father, we commit and commend the year you have given us into your hands. My times are in your hands, O Lord. And so we into your hands, we commit our spirit this year. Lord, help us to walk in the spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh, just to be at ease and enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit this year, no matter what he leads through or circumstances that happen. We keep our eyes on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Commit your ways unto the Lord and he'll lead you in all your paths. And so, Lord, our eyes are on you. Give us banners to navigate the year, Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord God of hosts, we pray for your people all over the world that you would be with them in whatever struggles they are facing. Israel, of course, Lord, the apple of your eye, be upon them, be with them, Lord, and lead them to their Messiah this year, Lord. And to the Palestinians, the other sons of Abraham, lead them to their Messiah this year, O Lord. And let there be peace in Jerusalem. We pray for that. We lift up our voices for war and conflict. We ask that the Ukraine would be liberated from the warfare and aggression of Russia, and that matter would be settled so people can come home again. And in other places, Lord, you cut off the spirit and fury of princes. You make wars to cease to the end of the earth, and we do ask for that. Lord, be with those fighting fires in California. We pray for that land that they would know their Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for the good things that you've written in your book for everybody's life this year. And I pray your anointing would be so strong upon each of the believers on the earth this year. And you would raise up the dead bones. Father, be with us in the places where we've lost hope and breathe upon us again. I ask all these things in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.